Some system like firm and some system only share before. Firm. Tanur Rabbanan. Our rabbi is taught.
No, me rabbi is taught.
Yeah, very good. Tanur Rabbanan. Where are we holding?
Stop.
Ma Raza Esther. Shizimnes Haman. Yeah, what did Esther see? You know this, Gemara?
Yeah,
what's that? What did Esther see when she invited Haman to the Suda? Now, this is one of the most important parts of the Megillah, one of the strangest parts. What was Esther's kavana? She had one chance to speak to Ahasuerus, you know, and everything was telling on it. And she's going to have to speak to him and try to convince somehow this person, Rosh Ahasuerus, who himself is interested in killing, you know, all of Am Yisrael, and she's going to have to convince him that he should get rid of Haman and, you know, stop this decree that he himself was already ready to sign. And probably the way she was going to do that, and the only way she could do that, was going to be by revealing that, you know, she herself is part of a Jew, and therefore it's a negative. Now, she doesn't know whether she's going to be successful, but one thing is obvious, that the worst person to have there at the time is going to be Haman. You don't want to start, you know, he's going to be there starting defending himself, and how can you do this to me, and what, you know. So, why did she invite him there? What's going on over here? Between, and, you know, why did she invite, what was her idea? And the second question is, why did she have a suda? Yeah, why did she invite them to this mishta, the suda, which is, by the way, the source of all of the mishta, the parties and the drinking that we have on Purim. One of the reasons we drink, the fortune I'll bring down on Purim, at the suda, is because all of the nisim in Purim happen through drinking. Through drinking, right? You gotta get them drunk. And when things, yeah, people get drunk, things begin to move in this world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what happened over here. You know, Vashti got killed. Yeah, because Ahasuerus got drunk, you know. So Esther looks, and what does she do? She, you know, I don't know what's going to happen over here, but I'm going to bring out the wine, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's see what goes on, you know. So she brings out this young. So, what did she do? What was her idea? So the Gemara writes, we're going to see there are about 10 different answers here about what Esther actually thought. And some of them learn out from Sukkim, that Esther was learning out from Sukkim, you know, what do you do? So Rabbi Elazar says like this, that there's a posik in Tehillim that says, Yehi shulchanam lifnehem lepach. That their table should be before them as a trap. So he said, you see from here, Esther said, you see from, you know, she was new to now. You see from here that the table of these goyim is going to be a trap for them. So she's going to invite them to the Suda. And then we'll see the fact that she invites them to a mishta and she starts giving them something to drink, so that's going to be a fall for them. They're going to fall through this mishta. She didn't know what, but she learned it out from a pasuk. Now, there's a few things to say about this. First of all, there's one basic point over here. What is the camera's right there? Depends what kind of image you want. You know, what I'm missing.
What is that?
So they say, first, most of we learn is, Rav Dessler writes about this, how do you deal with Ra in this world? And before she writes, you should know that the dealing between Esther, Mordechai, and Haman, how to deal with Ra in this world, that's a very difficult question, especially at a time Hester Ponim, you know, there's a Gemara in Chulim that asks the question, you know, Haman min HaTorah Minayin, it's a famous Gemara, you know,
right.
Where do we know Haman from the Torah? So the Gemara says, Hamin or Eitz, right. Did you eat Hashem said to Adam Harishon, did you eat from that tree? A tree of knowledge of Tov V'ra. You know? Energy. Tov V'ra. Yeah. The Gemara says, Mordechai min Atar Minayin. You know, where does we know Mordechai from? So it says, Rosh Bisami Mar Dror. The head of all spices, Mar Dror, which is Targum Mar Dechi. Mar Adechio. Which is, if you read it fast enough, 100 times, it comes out to Mordechai. Mordechai, you know. And Esther min Atar Minayin. So it says, Ani Haster Aster Espon.
Mayhem.
So the Maharal writes about this. You should have brought out some wine or something. So the Maharal writes, he says that the relationship between Haman and Mordechai, says, why is Mordechai the spices, Rosh Keteris? Yeah, and Haman is Minayetz. So he says that Mordechai, what's the point of the Keteris? He says the Keteris is something that kills the Malach HaMoveis. You know, overcomes death in this world. You know, it says in the Chumash when there was a Magefa, a plague spreading through the camp. So Aaron HaKohen grabs the Keteris and he, you know, brings it between the living and the dead, and he starts waving the Keteris.
Wow.
And, the Magefa stopped, the Malach HaMoveis,
yes,
runs away. You know, because that was a secret that the angel gave Moshe Rabbeinu, how to stop the Malach HaMoveis from the Keteris. The Keteris was the thing that stops the Malach HaMoveis.
Didn't the Malach HaMoveis tell Moshe about
it? Yeah, that's this. Well, Moshe, when he was up on the, right, when he was up on the mountain. And the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, that was the thing that brought death and Ra into the world. Right, that's the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. That Haman, when he ate from that originally Adam HaRishon had a choice to make when he ate from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. What was his choice? His choice was, Avada, he wanted to do the Ratzon Hashem. But his choice was, how should I do it? Should I remain an angel? Adam HaRishon was created as an angel. Because if I want, I can remain an angel and be like a Malach without evil within me. And if I just wait passively, you know, I'm going to just, on my own, sort of zoom up to Olam Habo. That's one choice in serving Hashem. The easy road. Just, you know, sit down and your neshama just cruises you up, you know, to Shemayim. Because, or, if I want, I can eat, and if I can eat, I can make myself into a person who has to choose in this world. And having to choose means I'm going to make evil into a reality, and it's going to be a very, you know, difficult type of reality, and I'm going to have to fight against it and choose to destroy it. And that was Adam Rishon's question in life. Should I remain an angel and just go up on my own to Olam Habo? Or should I create Ra in this world and bring it out into a reality that I'm going to have to confront and then choose and then destroy it, which will be a greater Kiddush Hashem in his own eyes. So he learns, the Alter Nevardik learns that Hashem said to Adam Rishon, in the type of Eitzah, I'm telling you to take the easy road. What do you make difficulties for? But Adam HaRishon, he decided that he's going to go at it the hard way. And he has to decide to be somebody who's able to choose. And therefore, he ate from the Eitzah Das and created Ra, which is what the Nachash told him. He said, you know, Hashem, when he created this world, you know how Hashem created the world, the Nachash said, he ate from this tree and he created the world. If you eat from this tree, you're also creating this world. That's what the Nachash told Chava. And Rav Dessler explains that the Nachash said to Chava, what is this world? This world is a world where Hashem hid himself and he created Ra, and the potential for Ra. Right? That's what he did. How did he do it? This is the tree, the Metzias of creating Ra. It says, and if you want, you could also create evil. And therefore, you know, you could be like Hashem. That was Hashem's original plan, to create evil and then give man the ability to destroy it. And Adam and Chava went for it, you know, and they ate and they created, through the eating of it, an existence of Ra. And out of that existence of Ra comes Esav and Amalek. Right? And he writes there that the nature, and that's where death comes into the world. And the Maharal explains that Nisa that comes into the world, the nature of a Molech is a love of death. That's what he says. The nature of Ra. And it's Minatara, out of the Eitz Hadas Tova Ra, says Ra is something that has a desire to do everything opposite for Hashem. And the main thing that Hashem wants in this world is life. That's the Mordechai, Maradechya, brings life to the world. And the main thing that therefore death wants is destruction. It wants to destroy the world, like the Zohar writes, Rosh Hashanah called Mokdei Olam, that they're happy to destroy the world and themselves along with it. So he writes, Mokdei Olam. Yeah. Moked is like burning up. Mokdei Olam. So he says, that's where Haman and Amalek is all about. That love of destruction and Ra. And he writes, the reason why anti-Semitism is an unconscious death wish, yeah, to destroy the world, because he understands that the world is dependent on the existence of people learning Torah. As a result, he wants to destroy Am Yisrael so that in the end the world itself will be destroyed. So he writes there
wow.
About the nature of Ram. Anyway, so he says, Mordechai, therefore, the nature that the Mordechai stands for, the struggle against Haman, Mordechai versus Haman, at a time where, you know, we have to try to conquer this Ra that was created and bring the, you know, overcome death. That's the struggle between Am Yisrael and Amalek, he writes. And Esther is Haster, Asdor Esponai. So he says that Esther, yeah, lived at a time where not only was there this battle, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid himself completely in double hiding, once behind Ahasuerus and once behind Haman. And as a result of that, Haman was flourishing, going to the top. You know, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in a time where he hid his face, so Hashem let, you know, Midas Hadin, he pulled back. And then all the kochos of Ra flourish in that situation. And in that situation, he says, Esther, she comes up, because the only way, this is a very interesting thing, the only way that you're able to actually deal with Ra in this world and destroy it is through tzniut, he says. Esther means Haster, Esther Panai, but because that's something being hidden. Now, Haster, that's how you do it, and that's why Esther was able, because of its tzniut, because it's a period of time where the Tov that's in this world is deeply hidden. You know, like Bolam Hazeh, if you want to reach pure Tov, you won't find it on the surface anywhere in this world. You have to dig deep underneath the surface to find the Nakuda of Tov in every human being. When I'm in Machanech, kids, you know, to get to the Nekud of Tov there, you have to dig through layer after layer after layer to uncover it, right? You have to be a spelunkerer. You know,
cave explorer. Explore cave.
You never gone spelunkering?
No.
Cave exploring. So he writes. Now, that's how the Maharal learns over there. Now, it says over here, you know, the Fneim Lepach, the introduction is that when Ra is in this world and we have to deal with it, so how do you deal with it? So especially the time of Esther Panim, you should know you can't deal with Ra openly. And the Odessa brings down, he says, you know, how did Yaakov Avinu fight, you know, against Esav? So, you know, there he is, everybody knows Yaakov was trying to get the bracha away from Esav, and there he is crouching, you know, under these goat skins, you know. You know, who are you, Esav? Ani, Esav, b'chorecho, you know. And there's Yaakov, like Ishtam, man of truth, right? There he is, a man of truth. And crouching under these, you know, goat skins, impersonating Esav. Why didn't he just go? Why didn't he just go and say the truth? Abba, he's a Russia, Esav's a Russia, and I'm a tzaddik, you know, and I deserve it, and I'm saying the emes. Why didn't he turn to Esav at the time and say to the emes, you Russia, you want the brachas, yeah, what are you going to do with it with all of your stealing and your lying and your thing? You don't deserve it. That's what he should have done. That's what I would have done when I was there. Say emes, you know, what is all this games that you're playing, crouching as if you're a lawyer? What kind of way is that to do? Be open. You know. So, I remember once, many years ago, once we got a call at Tzedakah call, there was somebody who called my wife and I, and he asked us to help him collect money for somebody, something for cerebral palsy or something like that. So my wife got into it, and we started trying to raise money for this person, you know, and got other people to give money, and he got a pretty significant amount of money in our small-scale standards. And almost one night, I remember we got a call late at night, and a person picked up the phone and said, "Listen," he said, "I want to tell you that person who you're trying to get money for, you know, he's giving you money, you know, he is a lawyer.
Right.
He's just taking your money, and not only that, he's part of an underworld, and he's a dangerous person." Hang up the phone. So, you know, and here we are, you know, giving you money. So we started, I don't know, we looked into it, I can't remember now how we found out. We looked at it, and it turned out that this person was a very shady character. And so I remember I called my bay, and I was speaking to my reverend at the time about it, and he said, you know, told him what situation we were in, you know, in a fix. So he said, "What are you going to do?" So I said, "Well, I'm going to call the guy up, and I'm going to yell at him, 'You rush at him.'" He said, "Well, what's the kind of thing is that to do? You're stealing the money. I'm going to give it." So my brother said to me, "Don't you dare." He says, "That's the way that you deal with Rishoyim in this world." He says, "You might get yourself killed." He says, "You smile at him. You tell him how much you like him and how much you're struggling to get him money. But you don't know exactly, you know, how you're going to try to do it. And you really poor fundraising. And maybe even you give him a little bit more. And then slowly you phase out. And you make up those stories. And you help me make up a plan, you know, until the guy just gets fed up and leaves, you know." He says, "What do you think? Yeah, in Olam Hazeh, this world of Sheker, yeah, you can deal with Ra openly and call it Ra and win a battle. In a time of Hester Punim, when Ra flourishes, yeah, you're able to just say the truth and win. That's the way you deal with Ra. It's not so simple at all. Hester Punim like that, if you're so open and try to expose Tov openly, you'll be destroyed. That's the nature of Hester Punim. You have to go deep, right? And you have to set traps. Go beneath the surface. You know, deal, or else, who says you'll win the battle? Esther Panim, the Gula comes through Tzniut. Aster as Panoi Mayamim. Everything has to be done through Tzniut. Everything has to be done quietly. And that's what Yaakov Avinu understood as well. That with Esav was a lawyer, he had to destroy lying sheker, he destroy evil through the sheker itself, you know, it's not so simple. The difficulty of, you know, dealing with Ra in this world, you have to do it as a pach, you have to lay a trap for them. And on the surface, you know, there's Esther smiling to Haman, you know, they say, there's the famous Gemara Megillah, you probably read it, that at the Suda, so Achashverosh, you know, she says, you know, Achashverosh, you know, she sprung to Achashverosh because this person, he wants to destroy my people. So Achashverosh says, you know, "Mi uzeh v'ezu." So he's a yeesh, harazeh, haman, you know. So the Gemara says that Esther is there. You know, Esther was this person who, like all tzaddikim, loved truth. And she's standing there, and Achashverosh says, "Who is it?" She says, "Yeesh, harazeh." She's pointing to Achashverosh himself. He was the real Russia. You know, you know, and an angel comes and turns to the hand, "Haman, yeesh, harazeh."
Nah.
So first you say that, you know, Esther's there, she wants to say yes, you know. But wait a second, you know, but the angel comes and saves her and deflects her hand, and Rosh Hashem, she says, "What is she gonna say? You Russia, you're the one who sold them in the first place. Go ahead, say MS Dachashver, see how far you'll get." Who's the one who sold them in the first place? You're the one who wanted the Jewish people killed, and now you're asking me he's a Russia? Say MS, be MS Dachashver. Oh no. End of life. You know what I mean? That's the way you can talk. Says, you know, how do you deal? There's Esther. Come, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a suda. We'll have my friend Haman coming over. Achashverosh, all my good friends, you know. And there she is smiling. Have a drink. And I'm happy with you. That's how you deal with Ra in this world. You know? And underneath, you start making things. The ghoul has to come. It's Tzniut. That's the whole Yisod of Purim. Everything comes in the Derech Tzniut. And only in Derech Tzniut. And that's how you deal. You deal with Ra, you know. There's a very that's the Yisod, part of the Yisod of the Shtiri. You know, there's a famous Maisa, you know, from Nachman, that he always says over, that he used to say over, about, you've probably heard it, it's probably his most famous ones, about how, a minister and a king and his minister understand one year that in the next wheat crop that comes, whoever eats wheat is going to, the wheat from that year is going to go insane. So they start talking about, what are we going to do? So the king and the ministers comes and says, well, yeah, we won't eat the meat. No, the king said, we won't eat the wheat, we won't eat it. The king says, we won't eat it. So the minister says, we can't not eat the wheat, because if everybody in the world eats the wheat and we don't eat it, so everybody will be insane, and we'll be the only ones that are sane, and they'll tell us we're crazy, they'll lock us up. So we can't not eat it. So the king says, yeah, but if we go and we eat it, then we'll be crazy like everyone else. So they had a dilemma, what should they do? You know. It's like, so the minister said, I'll tell you what we'll do. He says, you and I, we'll put a mark on our heads, and then we'll eat the wheat like everyone else. But everybody in the world, yeah, they're going to be insane, right? But we'll be the only ones in the world will also be insane, but at least we'll know we're insane. That's what he said, you know. And that's what they did, you know. Everybody in the world is insane. But we'll at least know we're insane. We'll have marks in our heads. So they say, they write that, you know, part of the Yisod, Olam Hazeh, is a type of insanity, right? MS is deeply hidden, and where people take, we all know, yeah, we live in a world of insanity. People take things as if they're important and as if they're real. And if MS, they're, you know, they're not real. It makes no sense in the world why you have 100,000 people screaming at a soccer game, you know. It's temporary insanity. I mean, it's beyond seichel. I mean, go, and they'll kill people for it. And they go, it's insane, you know. But if you tell them they're insane, they'll lock you up. You know? So you also have to go out on the fields and speak with them, right, and actually deal with people. And then, yeah, but at least you should know, if you know that you're insane while you're there, you have the ability of climbing up out of it and bringing yourself back to Emes, to Raya. You have to enter into the insanity of Olam Hazeh and climb out of it. However, if you know you're insane at the time, then you can bring yourself and the whole world up, yeah, out into Emes again. And so it is with, you know, Esther, you have to act like you're insane. And there she is. There she is with Haman and Ahasuerus, these two Rishoyim, and she's smiling, and she's been like a queen, and she's, you know, telling them how much she likes it, you know. And underneath, she's trying to lay Pachim and Tzniut, and Olam Hazeh, you're going to all of a sudden start saying the MS, and Olam Hashek, yeah. The Gula comes, it's not so simple. That's called concept, that's part of the concept of wearing masks, we all know. Yeah, where's the MS, you know, and for him, yeah. Where's the true face? Show me the true face over here. So that's the first mandoma that he writes over here. You know, that she learned out Yishochanim Lefneim Lepach. The Shulchan is going to be before them as a pach, and she's going to, we'll see, get them drinking, and as a result, yeah, have a good time. And in the midst of apparently having a good time, they're going to fall. Now the next mandoma, he explains that perhaps a little bit more deeply. Rabbi Yeshua says that Esther learned it out from another pasuk. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Imrav sonecha hechilu lechem." Says if your enemy is hungry, so feed him bread. If he's thirsty, give him wine to drink. You know.
Amen.
Give him wine to drink. Yeah. Now, this pasuk in Mishlei, the simple explanation is that just because the Torah obligates you to hate a person because they're doing averus doesn't mean that you're free not to help him. You know, you're obligated to hate Rishoyim. At the same time, if he needs bread, you're obligated to feed him bread, because of himself, he's still a Jew. You know? And that's already one of the difficult tricks of Olam Hazeh, to hate and love at the same person at the same time. The way we do that is by hating the evil in them and loving the human being as they are. That's the simple pshat over here. It isn't so simple, but it's another shir. However, the Gaon learns over here, Imrav sonecha echilu lechem, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread. So the Gaon learns that the enemy that we're talking about is the Yetzer Hara. Imrav sonecha, if your enemy, the Yetzer Hara, is so what do you do? Yeah, don't get into a battle with the Yetzer Hara. And again, it's back to our theme, you know, Girui Be'inei HaSatan. You Yetzer Hara, I'm going to kill you! That you always lose. when you try to kill your Yetzer Hara, you're finished. As soon as a person says, I'm going to kill you, you Yetzer Hara, you've already lost the battle. Once that's the way you're dealing with Ra, I'm going to kill you, what do you think? You're living in the Zman of the Old, the most of Mashiach. We're living in Hester Ponim, when the Yetzer Hara is fed every day in Hester Ponim. The Yetzer Tov is in deep. You take the Yetzer Hara on in a direct battle. Yeah, you're not amazing. He's a strong man over here. You're never a match. He'll throw you for a loss. People do that all the time. They think that the way they deal with themselves, they find themselves, they have a Yetzer Hara to speak Lashon Hara. You know, who doesn't have a Yetzer Hara to speak Lashon Hara? You know, schmack, you know, speak Lashon Hara. So all of a sudden you get angry at yourself. I'm going to kill you. I'm never going to speak. If I catch you speaking Lashon Hara again, I'm going to destroy you. Give it up. You know, the next day you're going to be speaking more slander and Lashon Hara you ever dreamed in your life. But 2 days you'll stand up to him, and then the next day, I won't care, take it anymore. And he'll throw you down. You'll be like bowing down to your Yetzer and say, I'm a rush anyway. What can I do? Just, that's already. You never win that way. You can't. You don't deal with Ra openly like that. He says, what you do, the way that you deal with Ra, you know, isn't by trying to destroy it. The way you deal with Ra is by trying to feed it. It's a general klal. You nurture it. You feed it. And you win the battle through giving to it, rather than trying to destroy it. And he writes that you open up a dialogue with yourself. You say to the Yetzer Hara, you have to learn how to speak to yourself, of course, you know. But you say, there are also some psychological techniques, you know, when you start opening dialogues between parts of yourself. So we've believed in that for many years, you know. You speak to Yetzer Hara and you say, what do you want? So it says, I want you to speak Lashon Hara. So you say to him, listen, you think I don't want to speak Lashon Hara? I also want to speak Lashon Hara. But, you know, let's think what to do over here. And you have to start realizing, you start working with yourself a little bit. So let's think for a minute. What do you really want? You know, why is it that you have such a desire to speak Lashon Hara? Like, if there's a general cloud, which is very, very important to know, it's an important psychological principle, that if you're out of control in some area in life, which is really what the age is all about, there's some area in life where you're out of control. The reason you're out of control is because there's some need that you have that's not being fed properly. That's what makes you out of control. You lose control in life where you aren't meeting a need properly, and you deny it, you deny it, you deny it, until mama should go crazy. Klaus, what happened? And you lose control. And if you can able to find what the need is and feed it properly, you'll get back in control. And the more that you starve that need because you feel that it's going to help you, the more that you starve, that's the reason why you're out of control in the first place, is because you're not fulfilling the need properly. And the more you starve it, so the less, the more you're going to get out of control in the end. You have to find what it is and feed it. Person who has the Yetzer Hara to speak Lashon Hara, so there's a need there. Who knows what the need is? Maybe the need is that you yourself need more kavod, you need more self-respect. You know, there's a need that's not being met that forces you to push down other people. If that's what you want, all right. I hear it. I'm going to find a way to give you what you need. You're fulfilling a need by putting other people down. What's the need? It makes me feel good about myself. Yeah, I'll find a better way to find good about yourself. Let me deal with that need in a better way. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you move on. That's a cloud. All of the way of actually dealing with Ra in this world and dealing with the Yetzer Hara, it comes through finding out how to feed the Yetzer Hara in this world. You bring them to a Suda and you feed them. Have, take, eat. And the trick is to find out what the need is. And then that's how you manipulate in the end to take over and defeat, right? It's a very, very important thing. Rather than fight battles against yourself, learn to realize that you're out of control because there's a need that's not being met. Figure out what the need is, and then figure out how to feed that need in a way that will bring you back into control, and at the same time keep you from doing avaras and doing destructive things. That's a klal in life. It's a very, very important psychological principle that once you grasp it, you know how to deal with yourself from here on in, you know, and you don't get into how many people do I know who fall because of they try to fight these ridiculous battles against themselves, and in the end they just keep on falling, you know. So That's how the Gaon learns over here. Yeah. Imrav sonecha. If he's hungry, so what do? You feed him. You end up feeding Ra, and through feeding Ra, you gain the ability to control it. You feed it, gain the ability to control. And it says, if he's hungry, you give him bread. If he's thirsty, bring him water. You just have to figure out what the need is. And God explains, if he's hungry, it's talking about nature for taiva, physical problems. If he's thirsty and wine, it's talking about the ego problem, whatever it should be. And then figure out how to feed. You always feed yourself. People have to learn how to feed themselves properly. If you know how to feed yourself properly, then you learn how to gain control and manipulate and develop yourself properly. So Gemara says that Esther, so she's reading this pasuk and she's thinking about it. You know? And she says, well, look, how do you deal with Ryan? I'm going to invite him to a suda. I'm going to start feeding him. Haman, I'm going to start feeding him. The exact opposite of what you would think. I'm going to try to destroy him. I think I'm going to try to destroy him. Yeah, I'm going to invite Haman in. You know. I'm going to give him food, drink. You know. And in the end, through feeding him, she's going to find a way to get rid of him, you know, to eliminate him. This comes through feeding. Now, so she writes. Now, the Maral writes over here. It's a very interesting, important idea. Feeding rats, the exact opposite of what we normally think. The Maharal writes, he explains it a little bit, like in general the Maharal is, you know, comes up with very deep explanations. But he writes there that he writes that when a person is receiving from you, so you already have control over it. It becomes a makabel from you, and when you turn somebody into a makabel, so therefore you have influence already, and he loses his independence and his ability to actually rise up against you. It's a clown. It matters practically as well. You have somebody who's an enemy of yours, so you start giving to him. And in the end, you'll bring him around. You have a guy who hates you. Come on over, how you doing? I'll take you out for lunch. You know. Yeah, Shalach Monas, you start giving. And in the course of giving, once he starts receiving from you, then you've neutralized him already. It's a clown in life. You give to a person and you neutralize them. Some people use giving as a general way of manipulating you. That's a very subtle form of manipulation, by the way. It's one of the toughest ones to find. You ever see people, you know, oh, I love you so much, I'm giving to you so much, take, you know. And in the course of giving it, you know, your mama, you can't budge, you know, like the person is manipulating you, you know, do this to me, do that for me, I cooked you lunch, you know, how come you're not eating? Sometimes people give as a means of manipulating you, you can't move anymore, I'm so good to you, I love you so much, I'm giving this for you, and I'm making this for you, I'm doing this, and in the end, push it, there's no room for you to move, because anytime you move, you're disappointing that person, and you have to do everything they say, and they get you by giving to you and cooking food for you, and meals, you know. You know, I remember I used to go up to go, you know, go over, you know, going over my, you know, your grandmother's house, you know. Oh, man, the meal that she would cook, you know, you were finished, you know. And you can't not go. She's cooking you this huge lunch, and then you can't not eat. Because how could you not eat all the things that are there and you go out? You know what I mean? 3 hours, you know. But anyway, that's not interesting, but that's an important thing. It's cash in life. There are people like that sometimes. They get you by giving to you. That's very tricky to catch, because what are you going to tell them? I'm giving to you. I love you. I mean, how could you say? You're using it to manipulate me. You know? Anyway, so Esther already was, you know, first Jewish grandmother. You're humming in over here. Anyway, gotta eat. I cook you this meal. You have to come to my suda. How could you not come? You know.
Did she make hamantash for
her? I imagine she did. And also, you know, with the what do they call it? Kasha varnisha. You know, chicken fat. You know, moving on.
Malawa.
Yeah, that's right.
All the Persian food.
Persian food also. Yeah, depends where your grandmother's from. So anyway. So anyway, that's the cloud that Esther saw. So she invites him. She realized by giving, it's going to be for a fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he writes. The Maharal writes the second anticipation over here, which is also deep. He says that Esther realizes well that he writes like this: that as soon as a person feels like he's shalem in this world, he loses the Siyata Dishmaya. Maharal writes. It's a very interesting thing. He says that as long as a person, even if he's not, as long as a person feels that he lacks something, and, you know, he's not complete, he's going to have to get it, So he has a certain kesher with Hashem. You know, Hashem is close to the ne'alovim people. But as soon as a person in this world feels like he's on the top, right? And I don't mean anything in the world, even Hashem, I'm on the top. So then he's about to fall. He's on his way down. It's a cloud. As soon as a person reaches the top, he's on his way down again. Mm. That's why in life, we're speaking about another, that in life the way we keep on growing is when we get to the top, we realize that we really don't have anything yet. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to keep on growing. Yeah, a person always has to make himself, you know, call that nishbarei lev. A person always has to feel that he's chaser in order to keep receiving from Hashem. As long as you realize you need, Hashem will keep on giving. But if a person reaches a level where he's on the top and there's nothing he needs and he feels like he's on top of the world, so that person is cut off now from Hashem. He's on his way down. So he writes that Esther's kavana was over here that she's lifting Haman to the top. She's taking Haman and she's, you know, here he is. She's lifting him to the top of all of the ministers. She's bringing him up to the top in the height of his career. And she's just with her and the king together. And she's giving him all this food. She's making him drunk. And at that time, he's going to reach him a drake away. I made it. I'm on top of the world. I have nothing to worry about. And then he's gone. As soon as the person, she knew that he was going to become so full of himself. I don't need anything in this world. Zero. I made it. I'm incredible. And she's, you know, and then she, you know, once a person reaches that point, he's finished. So Dafka, she invited him to the Suda, and she lifted him up, and she made him feel completely shalom, because she knew once he reaches that level of success, so he's just like, just give him one little push. It's like a person who climbs to the very top of the mountain, and he's standing now on the very top of the peak, you know, where the very, mm-hmm. once he's there, one little touch, and he's right. All the way down. Mm-hmm. And that's what Esther was doing, lifting him up to the very top. And then when you feel like there's nothing in the world, I'm one of the greatest, me and the queen. And just one little push, and it's gone. Right? And that's what Maral says that Esther knew. And therefore she invited him to the Suda. Yushachanam, yeah. Imram Sonecha, give him bread. He's thirsty, give him wine. Rabbi Meir, he has a third pshat, more simple perhaps, more political pshat. Why did Esther invite Haman to the Suda? Just like this. Haman was a very, very powerful person. You know, he had control of the army. She was worried that she couldn't let Haman be independent of them, because as long as he's out of sight, she's afraid that he's going to kill Ahasuerus. He couldn't be trusted. He's going to go over and start speaking to the army, and they're going to plan a coup d'etat, you know, a revolution. And he was a very dangerous person and very, very powerful. So she was afraid. Her only hope was, yeah, through Ahasuerus, at least she had some sort of hope here. But Haman was getting so powerful that she was afraid that if he just went to Ahasuerus alone and let Haman go on his own, so who knows how much longer she'd be able to wait over here. He might take over the country on the empire on his own. He was an incredibly ambitious, evil person with tremendous power. So Dafka, because of that, she felt that she had to invite him to the Suda to neutralize him, that he shouldn't form a revolution, you know, and take over a military coup and take over. So Dafka, she had to keep him near Ahasuerus to keep him inside. That's what Rabbi Meir, she was, you know, political savvy there for Esther. Rabbi Yehuda writes, I'll skip to Rabbi Nehemiah. Rabbi Nehemiah writes, he says something. Esther had another idea over here. He has a very important idea here. Rabbi Nehemiah writes that Esther realized one thing, that the Geula is going to come not through her. This Geula in Purim is only going to come through Tefillah, and there's no other way that the Geula is able to come. It's only going to come through Tefillah. And if Am Yisrael stops davening, so it's going to be the end of everyone. That's what she recognized. Now, there's a Yisod over here that the Gemara talked about earlier in Purim. Shimon Bar Yochai asks, you know, why did the Bnei Yisrael deserve Kalai? He asked his students, what happened that Am Yisrael, you know, deserved a decree that they should all be destroyed? So the students said, what? Because they received their nana, they went to Ahasuerus' Suda. You know, and because of that, that's why Haman rose to the top and made this decree. So Reb Shimon said to them, what you're saying is true, so let the people who went in Shushan have a decree, but what do the rest of the Jewish people do? they said to Reb Shimon, so you tell us, what's the reason? Reb Shimon said, because they bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar made a huge statue of himself. And he invited everybody, he told everybody to go and bow down to it. And Jewish people went and they bowed down, except for Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah. Bowed down. Now, the Mephoshim bring down that both of these things are true. The Gaon has a beautiful explanation of this, and Mordechai and Esther came to be metaken each one of the two. Rav Revda writes about it, a beautiful evidence. Mordechai and Esther, each one was coming to be metaken a different thing. Esther was metaken the fact that they were Nanami Oso Suda, and Mordechai was to be metaken that they bowed down to Ahasuerus. But we know that bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar was a pshat that a person believes and fears human beings more than you fear Hashem. And therefore, the tikkun of that was going to be Mordechai, you know, refusing to bow down, even though it makes no sense in the world. You know, there's Haman, and the Shah was real about Azura, and it's Pikuach Nefesh, you know, and he's walking, and Mordechai, he's the only Jew there, you know, he's not bowing down. No way, you know. And then Haman sees him, and he gets so furious, he's going to destroy all Haman. Jews don't bow down, only Hashem is from, you know. Only Hashem. And then, you know, afterwards, Esther's there inside, you know, and Mordechai refuses to take off his sack, you know. Only Hashem is davening. He looks like he's a crazy person. No hishtadlus bechol, only davening. And because that was the tikkun of the chait, that the only way that we were going to get out of this gezeirah is through tefillah. There's no other way. Now, and that's why in the end we did get out of it. Now, Esther, why was Esther brought to the top to be queen over here? Simple pshat people always say as well, HaKadosh Baruch Hashem made a nay so that she should save Am Yisrael. But Esther understood something else altogether. That's sort of true. But the real truth is that Bemis, it was a test for Am Yisrael that Esther was put as queen. Who says that was for his benefit? It was a tremendous test for them. Why? Because, now Klal Yisrael, they had a choice. Yeah, should they turn to Hashem? Why do we have to turn to Hashem for you now? We have a protexia, queen in the palace. What do we care about Hashem? Forget Hashem, you know. Back to political realities. No, we're realistic people. We have to deal with political realities, hishtadlus, you know. So we have Esther there, and Esther's going to take care of everything, and she's in charge, and she's the queen now. It's all taken care of. And that was a nisoyan. That Am Yisrael was supposed to look at Esther and see that even though she's there, we don't believe in her, ki hu zeh. We have no trust in her. We don't believe in her. It's only Tolui and Hashem. Everything was based on that. And Esther understood this as well. So Dafka Esther, what did she do? She invites Haman to the Suda and puts herself in a situation whereby she's not going to be able to get out of this derech hateva. She does it on purpose. That Am Yisrael should see that she's inviting Haman to the Suda, they can't trust in her at all. There's no way now that they're going to get out of this. How are we going to trust in her, you know? And then they're going to have to daven. And if they daven, so then things will happen. So he writes, Nehemiah writes, that Esther Dafka backed herself into a wall. And she put her in such a situation, Alpi Tevet, where she's never going to get out of it. And she did that on purpose in order that Klal Yisrael should daven, because the only way we're going to get out of this tikkana, this decree anyway, is out of through tefillah. It's the only way to go. So Esther, you know, Dafka backs herself into the wall there, invites Haman, and everybody's going to look, what are we going to do? And she finished, and everybody's going to daven, and then a Yeshua will come through the Suda, but only through tefillah. She understood that, and that was the whole tikkun of Purim, to be able to do that and put themselves in that situation. So as a result, so Reb Nechemya writes over here. Now, there are another 8 answers over here, to go through. You know, you see all the genius of Esther over here. Something fantastic. We didn't go through them. There are more things. You know, another Mandomer says, I don't have time to go into them today, another Mandomer says that Esther had a better plan. Her plan was that she was going to invite Haman to the Suda, and then when she invites Haman to the Suda, she's going to start flirting with him. And she's going to make Ahasuerus think that they're having an affair, and then Ahasuerus will kill both of them, should be Moser Nefesh, and how should Haman get out and do that, you know? And the killbot, and then once Haman is out of the way, so then the whole thing will fall out, you know, and then that was her plan over here. And she had a lot of different plans that go through. Yeah. However, but after all of these answers that it gives, so the Gemara answers like this, all of Esther's genius over here. So the Gemara ends with Rabbi Bar Avuha, that Rabbi Avuha was walking one day, and who did he happen to meet? Eliyahu Navi. Now, you don't meet Eliyahu Navi every day, you know? But Eliyahu Navi knows things that we don't know. So Rabbi Bar Avuha sees Eliyahu Navi, you know, Malach, Bris. He asks Eliyahu, tell me, he says to him, who is right here? What did Esther really think? Tell me the truth. All of these understandings of Esther, which one was right when she invited Haman to the Suda, which was the real answer? You know, what's the real answer? Eliyahu said, Esther, who's the right one? Kakulu Tanoi v'Kakulu Amaroi. All of the explanations that we have about what Esther thought, they were all right. Every single one of them. She had in her mind all of these cheshbonot. And they say, Dafka, you know, and perhaps more. And they bring down Ketula Tanoi, Kakula Amaroi, Esther, you know, and we bring down that one of the yesodas that we learn from Purim is Emunas Chachamim. And that when the Chachamim make a gezerah and they make a decree and they have an idea, you know, what's behind their ideas, you think they make some sort of simple concept. When you have a Gadol Hador who does a simple thing, invites somebody to a Suda, you think we know what's going on in their heads and in their minds. You know, it's people, the Cheshbonot, the Ruach HaKodesh, and Vol, Kulu Tanoi, Kulu Amaroi, Esther and more, all of these things, and more, I'd even go through all of the Cheshbonot that she had in these ways. And as a result of all of Cheshbonot, yeah, she was Zocha, as I say, to, because of the tefillahs of Am Yisrael, to actually use this meaning in the Neis Bemis, get Achashverosh, she was successful in impossible task of getting Achashverosh, one Rasha, to kill Haman and put Mordechai, you know, as minister of the king for what? Skoy was saying, Sone Yisrael, who was wanting them killed in the first place. Stama Neis, but the Neis was done with Sneut, because when we're dealing with Zman of Ra, Gula will come, but everything has to be done derech tzniut in the fashion, so we deal with that. Shem Afeil Chapurim.